There's been another housing initiative launched by the federal government, but some of the provinces are pushing back. We're going to look at that story. Also, the Bank of Canada's latest business survey has some pretty positive outlooks. Also, a new study by Deloitte says that Canada should avoid falling into a recession. And General Electric has completed its transformation and now trades as three separate companies. Today is Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024. Let's get started with today's top stories. The Canadian federal government has launched another housing initiative, and this is designed to address the housing crisis that we find ourselves in here. The proposal here is for a multi-billion dollar fund that's aimed at boosting infrastructure development for housing. This was announced this morning by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. This fund is contingent, in this case, upon the provinces following certain rules and requirements, and those include the abolition of single-family zoning in favor of allowing construction of fourplexes. And this move, this has sparked a fair bit of resistance from several provinces, including Ontario and Quebec, who vocally have been opposing the conditions, and they're deeming that they are an overreach into their jurisdiction. Now, Housing Minister Sean Fraser, he highlighted the government's commitment to the plan. He says that we will be working with partners, and where provincial partners won't implement the measures that will help solve the housing crisis, we're going to work directly with the cities that will. So even with the provinces pushing back, the government does intend to go directly to the municipalities if the provincial governments themselves are going to refuse to comply. Now, the program itself, it promises up to $6 billion in funding. The majority of that is allocated to the provinces. There is also a dedicated sum for municipalities to enhance the infrastructure that's critical to housing development. So we're talking about things here like water, talking about waste management systems that you need to develop the neighborhoods up. Reactions from the provinces, as I said, they have varied. Some are outright rejecting the proposal. Some of them have expressed cautious optimism. If we look at Ontario's response, which comes via the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, this underscores a belief that the local municipality's understanding of their unique needs should take priority. And they say, "We know that local municipalities know their communities best and don't believe in forcing them to build where it doesn't make sense." In this case, the government's aggressive stance, this has sort of kicked off a broader debate on jurisdictional authority. Tom Urbaniak, he is a professor of political science, and he sees the announcement as a strategic political maneuver by Trudeau to counteract the criticisms and set the stage for some forthcoming positive announcements that are leading up to the election campaign. He says here that Pierre Poilievre has been successful in framing the housing problem as a Justin Trudeau problem. So Justin Trudeau has now calculated that he has the kind of room to maneuver in terms of treading on provincial jurisdiction. Now, on the other hand, Matti Siimatikki, he is the director of Infrastructure Institute at the University of Toronto's School of Cities. And he questions whether the allocated funds will be enough to bring about the necessary change across Canada's diverse housing landscape. He says, "Across a country as big as ours, given how many housing units are needed, it doesn't go as far as one would hope that amount of money would." So we're going to see where this initiative goes, but it sure does highlight these complexities, the intricacies of the federal and provincial government dynamics here in Canada, the ongoing struggle that we're having to find the effective solutions to the housing shortage. Bit of good news here, maybe. The Bank of Canada has shared a fairly optimistic update in its latest Business Outlook and Consumer Expectations Survey, and they indicate a slight upshift or uplift in sentiment amongst both businesses and consumers for the first quarter of 2024. Despite the continuing challenges that are posed by the higher interest rates we're seeing today, there is a growing hope that rate cuts could soon be on the horizon. This is fueling some newfound optimism amongst business owners, amongst consumers. The central bank's reports, which were released on Monday, they suggest that while demand does remain soft, there are signs of improvement in business conditions, sales outlooks, and employment intentions after a period that we've seen of decline recently. In the release, the bank noted, in the wake of weak past sales growth, expectations for improved sales are supported by population growth, efforts to enter new markets or develop new products, and expectations that interest rates will decline over the next 12 months. This is a real shift here from the previous quarters. It does reflect, like I say, that cautiously positive outlook amongst Canadian businesses. Now, if we shift over to the consumer front, obviously the impact of high inflation, interest rates, that has led nearly two-thirds of Canadians to either cut back or delay spending plans. The tide might be turning here, might be slowly turning, but consumers are growing less pessimistic about the economy's direction, and that's thanks in part to falling interest rates. The bank says in its report, although weak, consumer sentiment improved this quarter with people expecting lower interest rates. As a result, consumers are less pessimistic about the future of the economy and their financial situation, and fewer think they will need to further cut or postpone spending. So this change in attitude is crucial here, and it suggests that there may be this potential easing of the financial pressures that are faced by so many Canadians. As we look back over the past few years, of course, the Bank of Canada's aggressive response to the post-pandemic inflation, we saw them raise the key interest rate to its highest level since 2001. That appears to be pulling back. It appears to be softening a little bit. Inflation has been on a downward trajectory. Economic growth is still slow. Forecasts are leaning towards an anticipated reduction in the policy rate around mid-year. And if this does happen, it could provide sort of that much needed boost to both the business sector, to consumer spending, which would then steer the economy away from recession risks. We're going to talk about more of that in just a moment here, and towards a stronger second half recovery. Are you ready to dive into the future of tech with confidence and convenience? Well, look no further than the Harvest Tech Achievers Growth and Income ETF, ticker is HTA, and this is offered by the sponsor of today's video, Harvest ETFs. Now, with HTA, you get access to a portfolio of 20 large cap tech stocks, but what sets HTA apart is its equal weighted approach. So it ensures that your investment is spread evenly across all 20 portfolio holdings. This manages risk, but it also gives you balanced exposure to the most promising segments of the tech industry. Of course, AI, this is an area that has tremendous potential. I think we would all agree on that. The shift to more accessible AI technologies has transformative potential for the entire economy, and these are trends that should be on every investor's radar, at least through the rest of 2024. But that's not all here. HTA goes beyond traditional ETFs, and it incorporates a covered call strategy to enhance portfolio income potential. Now, with a current yield of 7.96%, HTA offers you the opportunity to earn consistent monthly distributions, providing you with the cash flow you need to meet your financial goals. So whether you are a seasoned investor or maybe you're just starting out, HTA is a perfect choice for anyone who's looking to capitalize on the growth potential of the tech sector while still enjoying the benefits of diversification and income generation. You can visit harvestportfolios.com to learn more and start investing with HTA today. Another bit of good news for the Canadian economy. In the latest Economic Outlook report by Deloitte Canada, this presented a very cautiously optimistic view for Canada. It suggests that we might avoid a recession despite some challenges that are being posed by higher interest rates. The report highlights several concerning trends. They name persistent inflation, they name a rise in business insolvencies, and an increase in mortgage delinquencies. But that said, the report does believe that Canada is likely to dodge recession and could start to recover from its economic downturn in the latter half of this year. In the report, they say, against this backdrop, we remain cautious about the near-term outlook, but based on its current trajectory, Canada appears likely to skirt a recession and even seems poised to begin recovery from its current slump in the second half of this year. In its efforts to curb inflation, the Bank of Canada has raised its key interest rate from nearly zero in March of 2022 to 5% through a number of successive rate hikes. And this has led to a notable cooling of inflation. That was the desired effect. Deloitte now anticipates that the central bank will start cutting interest rates as early as June. And this does pretty much align with expectations by a lot of economists who are saying, you know, June or July, we're going to start to see those rate cuts. But according to this report, before we get too carried away with optimism here, Deloitte does forecast Canada's economy to be stuck in neutral through 2024, especially in the first half, and it predicts modest real GDP growth of about 1% this year, and then they're expecting that to increase up to 2.9% in 2025. The recovery, according to Deloitte here, will depend heavily on the reduction in interest rates, which then, of course, in turn relies on the continued moderation of inflation. The report also conveys good progress in managing inflation, but it does acknowledge that there are some enduring factors that maintain high level inflation levels. Particularly, they single out housing costs and Canadians renewing mortgages at these higher rates. Renters who are facing elevated shelter costs, they're also continuing to be significant concerns. Also, Deloitte notes that there is a discrepancy between wage pressures and productivity, and this contributes to rising business costs, and it complicates the efforts to control inflation. On this topic, they say, the good news is that measures to cool inflation have made significant progress. That being said, the factors that are keeping inflation elevated are not likely to reverse in the near term. The report does caution that high interest rates, a slowdown in business investment could restrict the economic recovery, and it highlights the ongoing need for careful financial management and policy support. General Electric, this is a name that, of course, is synonymous with American industrial power, once the most valuable company in the U.S., it has reached a monumental turning point. After 132 years of operations, GE has now completed its transformation. It now is operating as three separate entities. So this move ends the era of GE as a broad conglomerate. It transforms it into a focus of specialized sectors. The aerospace and energy businesses, which are now operating independently, began trading on the New York Stock Exchange this morning. GE Aerospace will keep the GE ticker. The energy unit, which is debuting as GE Vernova, it will trade with the ticker GEV. Now, GE Healthcare, that was previously spun off, and it trades with the ticker symbol of GEHC. Under Culp's leadership, GE embarked on a rigorous turnaround strategy, and that was marked by significant debt reduction and a sharpened focus on operational efficiency. And we can really see the results of these changes here with GE. They've shed over $100 billion in debt, and they've also had a significant increase in market cap. And this is a testament, really, to Culp's strategic divestitures, a lot of changes over the past number of years, and of course, the cost-cutting measures. The aerospace division, this is now GE's core business, and it is set for growth, and it leverages a resurgence in demand for jet engines and aftermarket services. And honestly, this sector is crucial for GE's success because it continues to represent a pretty significant portion of the company's revenues through its dealings with the major aircraft manufacturers. And then of course, its expansive service operations, which are critical. So the company has an optimistic forecast for this segment. They're saying that they're expecting operating profits to reach approximately $10 billion by 2028. So this is the end of an era for General Electric. This is now transformed from this sprawling conglomerate into this trio of specialized companies. If you haven't already subscribed to our Pulse newsletter, that goes out every weekend. I would encourage you to do that here. Also, if you haven't visited our Investing Academy website, you are welcome to do that. I will put links for both the newsletter and the Academy in the description of today's video. As always, thank you so much for watching this video, and I'll see you soon.